Let's look over in the book of Daniel. And Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. Good to see some new faces tonight. What a blessing that is. Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to pray while you turn. Father, thank you, Lord, for your good graces and your good mercies. Lord, I ask you tonight for grace on the preaching. I pray for your word, Lord, to go forth, Lord, as you planned on it. I ask you, Jesus, Lord God, to open each and every heart, including mine. And Lord, speak to us, Lord God. We need to hear from heaven tonight. And Lord, I know your word is a living word. Lord, this is not just any old book, but God, this is your word. And I pray that you touch us and help us, use us, God, and hide us behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All righty. Daniel chapter number 6, very familiar scripture. We're gonna look at Daniel in the lion's den. Verse number 16, he says this, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions." Now, I've had a few nows in my life. "The king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angels, and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." I'm interested there in verse number 16 for a text and a title there. We see the Bible says this, "Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions." And let that sink in just a little bit. I know we've heard this ever since we were tall in Sunday school. But let that cast in just for a little bit in your mind. You think on it. And I want to preach on this, being face to face with a lion. Being face to face with a lion. And you know, that's exactly where Daniel was at. Daniel was in a place where he was looking into the beady eyeballs of the lions themselves. And what a fearful place that is. And I believe the Word of God here is not only, typical, but it's also, for us in our lives. And as we face our daily walks and as we face different things in life, you know, there's things that you and I face that are scary, ain't they? You know, there's a lot of us in the room tonight. There's a lot of us that might be facing something right now that's frightful, that really gets your knees to buckling. I had a guy to come in my office Tuesday morning, and he walked in there and he was going that evening to get some blood drawn, and he's about my age, probably around 50 years old, and he's going to get blood drawn, and he's fearful that he's gotten cancer. And he is in a fearful place. And you know, when you're facing things like that, it's a scary thing, isn't it?
And let's look into this story here and let's see if it applies to our lives, which I'm sure it is. I notice, first of all, being face to face with these lions, we see our location. Our location in verse number 16, we see he was brought and he was cast into the den of lions. And I know that, notice that this is a low place. When you find yourself face to face with lions in life, you'll find yourself in a very low place. It's a place that our faith is tested. It's a place, now listen to me, I believe that when we're face to face with a lion, and there again, not when we're just having a bad day or a bad week or whatever, but I'm talking about that time in your life, those 4 or 5 times in a lifespan that you're face to face with a lion. It's a time to where if God don't, I'm going to die. It's a time in our life to where we can literally say, Lord, if you don't intervene, it's over. There's nothing that can be done. And we will face times like that in our life. We will face occurrences and situations in our life to where we get to the lowest point, to where we're helpless and have no ability of our own. Not only this location, I believe, is a low place, but I notice also that it is a locked place. I noticed that in the next verse, number 17, they took a stone and they rolled it across the entrance to the den of lions. And as Daniel must have saw that stone rolled in front of that door and the lights went out, I think about how many times how that when we find ourselves in that low place, it's a locked place also. It's a place where there's no alternatives. Amen. We always, and it's natural for you and I, when we find ourselves in difficult situations, to try our best to figure a way out. And that's called worrying. Amen. That's called stressing about the matter. And everybody in the room, more than likely, unless you're super Christian, maybe there's some Pauls and maybe there's some Silases in here. Maybe there's some really good folks in here. But most of us, when we find ourselves in this situation, we go to the reasoning table and we go to try to figure out how that we might get ourselves out of here. But I believe that Daniel, when he was locked down in this dungeon, I don't believe he went to looking for ladders. I don't believe he went to looking for extra doors that he might go check and see if they were locked. But I believe that Daniel looked towards the Lord. And I believe Daniel looked towards him for help. I see that there's no other alternatives that Daniel had. Just like you and I, these times that you'll find yourself in a locked place. And you'll find out that after you've worried a while and after you've stressed about the matter, you'll figure out that God Himself has placed you here for Him to get the glory. And you'll find out that God has rolled a stone in front of the door just so you won't try to figure it out yourself and just so it'll seal the matter that He might get glory in your life. As this location's a low place and it's a locked place, but I believe also I see only Daniel is thrown in here. It's a lonely place. You know, God, ain't it amazing how God can take a family and He can have a family crisis. Maybe it is cancer, or maybe it's a child or whatever. And you know, He can put that family in that trial and He can allow them to go into this storm. But you know, each and every person of that family has a separate storm. I believe each and every person is affected differently. And God's going to get glory from the family as a whole. But He'll also get glory on an individual basis because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a lonely place. I say this, it's just you and it's the lions and it's the Lord. There's three people in it. There's three that's in there and that's all. And boy, I don't like to get into places like that. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't want to see them. I don't never want another one in my life. I don't want the lion's den. But I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, as a child of God, I have been in the lion's den. And if you've been in this very long, you've been in the lion's den and you were cast in there. It's not a place that you walked in. It's not a place that you asked and knocked on the door and say, I want to spend a night or two here. But it's a place that you were thrown into. Oh, listen to me tonight. It's a lonely place. Boy, we don't like to be alone. You know, it feels better. It feels so much better if we got a companion beside us. If we read Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, we'll see that two are better than one. And you know, if we got a companion, that's why it feels so good. If we got somebody in this prayer room praying for us, that's why it feels so good. If we got a pastor that'll pray for us, and even Brother Ken will tell you, he's got people when he has situations that he'll call, and it comforts us if we've got somebody. But there is times in our life to where God. I don't want the pastor to get the glory. I don't want the Sunday school teacher to get the glory. But he wants you to enter into that throne room of grace. And he wants you to go in there. And he wants you to understand and grow in that fellowship with the Lord so that you can get what you need. You know, I'm a preacher. Brother Ken, my daddy, there's several more of other fellows. There's several preachers in the room in here tonight. But listen to me. There's no difference in us. And you can walk in the same door to the throne room of grace as I can, as anybody else can. I don't care if you've been saved 5 minutes or 50 years. You can go into the same throne room and petition the same God of glory to get help in your time of need. Ain't that a blessing tonight? Ain't you glad tonight that He's a loving God and that He hears even the least of us? I'm glad that He looks down and He don't look at me for what I am, but I'm glad that He knows that I'm His child. I'm glad that He hears when I pray, and I'm glad that He loves me enough to bless me and care about me. I'm glad that He... Ain't you glad that He loves even somebody like us? What a blessing it is. Remember those times. I can remember some of the darkest times of my life. Boy, I can remember just, I'm talking about where my, felt like I was so overwhelmed I could have just buckled on my knees. And I can remember those very low times. I can remember those very locked times and those lonely times. I can remember those. But I can also remember going to my closet. And I remember, I don't have a clue what I said. I might not have said much of nothing, but I can remember a time when I fell down face first on the carpet and I just squalled my eyeballs out and cried out to a holy God and just said, Lord, help me. And guess what? After I got up out of there, I felt pretty good about the matter. I didn't know how it was going to turn out no more when I got up as when I went down. But I knew one thing, that He's going to be with me, and He's going to take care of me, and He's going to see me through, no matter what. Bless the Lord. Ain't He good? Our location. But also, let's take a look at these lines. These lines here. Verse number 17, the Bible says, verse number 16, he cast him into the den of lions. You know, I've been to Paul's prison, and I went down in there, and how horrible that was. You know, just in Paul's prison over in Rome, you go down in this place, and it's a dungeon, and they say when it rains, it would fill up with water, and what a horrible place that would be. But to be cast into a den full of lions, that's a whole different scenario. In my book, that's about as bad as it gets. You know, there's all kinds of animals that could have been in that room. God could have chose several different kinds of animals, but He chose lions to have in this room. And as we look at these lions, I think we've got to understand that we got to understand their power. As Daniel looked at these, I'm sure that he realized the power of a lion. And as you and I know, and we've looked at National Geographic, and we've read about them in school and what have you, these lions are the strongest. They're the king of the jungle. And you know what? Just as well as those lions are the king of the jungle over there in Africa, the adversary that you and I face is the king of this jungle that we're in. He is the prince and the power of the air, and you'd better not never forget who he is. These lions, their power. I think as Daniel looked at these lions, he had to ponder in their power, their ability.
No doubt Daniel knew when the decree was signed and when he went and prayed, just like he had aforetime. And whenever they gathered him up and brought him before King Darius, I believe that he knew the ability that these lions had. And there's no doubt when you find yourself in a dark situation, and when you find yourself in a lonely situation, a deep situation, a difficult situation, you'll see there that you know your enemy has the ability to destroy you. You'd better believe that I don't care who it is that wrote the song, the devil's in the phone booth, dialing 911, or none of that malarkey. You'd better listen to me. Honey, he ain't in the phone booth. He's still got gnarling teeth. He's still got claws that can reach down in you and tear you up. He has the ability to destroy you if God gives him rain. His ability and his power. But then again, as we're thrown into this den of lions, and you know, the same as you and I, when we go into a trial, I know it's great to have good faith. You know, and I try to have faith. But I'm going to tell you, I've still got this wad of jello up here in this skull that they call a brain, and I go to thinking about things. And whenever I'm thrown into this den, just like Daniel may have been, I wonder if his mind went a lot like mine did. Not only their ability, but the probability. Amen. What's the stats on me going in and me falling down in the midst of a bunch of lions and walking out? What's the chances on that? Amen. And just like you and I, when I'm going into a deep, dark trial, when I'm going into a dark place, I'm going to think, well, what's the chances on having this cancer? What's the chances on having this disease? What's the chances on my child coming back home? What's the chances on my marriage being put back together? What's the chances on me finding another job that matches the job I've got? What is the chances on my finances ever making it out of this alive? What's the chances on this? And we go to wonder. Not only of the ability, but the probability. This probably ain't gonna, I listened to me tonight. I've thought time and time again when I fell down in the lion's den. I've thought time and time again. The probability of this ain't good. What's the chances on me having life anymore? Anybody ever thought of that? What's the chances on me ever being back normal? You ever thought of that? Not only their power of these lions, but notice the passion of these lions. I'm going to tell you something. These lions, I believe, are hungry. Just like our lions are hungry. You know what? These lions here, these lions that Daniel faced, reminds me of 1 Peter 5 and 8. He says, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And these lions here, no doubt, it wasn't the fact that they wasn't hungry the reason Daniel made it out, but the fact is that God sent his angel and he shut their mouths. They were starving to death. And listen to me, the lions that you and I face today, they're starving to death. They would love to eat you. They would love to crunch you and get every sinew and piece of flesh off of you and swallow it whole. And our only hope is that God sends His angel and shuts the mouths. So we see their passion. They're hungry. We see their power. Got on your shoulder and roared all day long. And got on your shoulder and told you things that wasn't nothing but a lie. And told you that your God wasn't able. And told you that you got yourself in this. You're going to have to get yourself out. And told you that there's no hope for you. And tells you that there's no need for you to even pray. You're done now. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been there where those devils gets on your shoulder and just wears you out? to the point to where, listen, to the point to where you're so stressed out in the evening? Has He ever got in the bed with you when you're laying on your pillow at night and you're trying your best to go to sleep and you lay on one side 5 minutes, you flip over 5 minutes on the other side and you lay on this side all because He's sitting on your shoulder and He's talking in your ear and He's telling you a bunch of malarkey and He's trying to get you defeated by talking to you? Boy, it makes me so mad. But I've been there way too many times. Our location, our lines. But you know, there's another set of lines in this story. I'm calling them the lookers. You see, there's some boys here that's jealous. If we read the whole chapter, there's some boys here that's jealous of Daniel. And they set Daniel up. They knew what Daniel would do if they got tricked the king into making a decree. They knew Daniel was going to pray 3 times a day, regardless of the fact. So they knew if they could get to old King Darius to sign this decree and seal it with his own signet, they knew what Daniel was going to do, so they set him up. And so we're going to call these folks the lookers. And the Bible says that, notice with me in verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel. They brought Daniel. Now, these lookers, as Daniel is thrown in that lion's den, as he's thrown down in the midst of them, the stones rolled before the door there, can you see the smiles on their face? Can you see them chuckling to one another and whispering, he's done now. That president's position's open now. Amen. I'm getting this position. Listen, I'm telling you how it is. They were throwing a party. Can you see them there as King Darius is over there spasting the night away? Here these guys are. They probably went back to their quarters or went back to their house or one of their houses and they threw a party because they finally got Daniel. You know what? There's a lot of lookers. It's a shame to say. A lot of lookers that would love to see you fall to the lions. Believe that. There's a lot of people. I had a preacher. I had a pastor to tell me in the midst of all my skirmish and trouble in my life. I had him tell me in a coffee shop in Carrollton. I had him tell me, you might as well quit and never get in the pulpit again. Looked me in my eyes and told me that. And you know, there's a lot. And it surprised you. There's a lot that would love to see you fall down. I don't care who you are. They'd love to see you fall. They would laugh. They'd love to see you go down in the count. They would love to see you choke out. They'd love to see this happen. I'm telling you that there's some lookers out there that's watching what you do. Even more so, that's why you need to try your best to stay faithful. Listen to me, if you're crawling, if you're like Hebrews chapter 11, and Jacob came, and he worshipped, and what was he doing? He was leaning on his staff. Jacob's got a wonderful life story. As we look at it, he was a con man, a trickster. He had every bag of garbage in his life that you could think of. And I see Jacob, even though he had to crawl, and even though he had to limp, he still pressed on, and he was still faithful, and he still worshiped God, even though he had to come in with a cane. You know what you need to do tonight? You may be limping. You might have all kind of baggage tied to you. You might have all kinds of skeletons in your closet. You may have all kinds of trouble in your life. But bless God, don't let the devil talk you out of going to God's house. Don't let him talk you out of praying. Don't let him talk you out of preaching. Don't let him talk you out of going on for God. You pick your boots up and put them on for the glory of God. And go to the house of God and praise the Lord that saved your soul. Amen. Press on. Stay faithful. These lookers, they're throwing a party. And they're waiting patiently. They're waiting patiently. You better believe, if you're in a struggle right now, if you're in a trial right now, I wonder what they said to get old Daniel to the door of this thing. He's about an 80-year-old man here. And you know, Daniel, I think he knew that these guys, in the first verses of this chapter, I think he knew that these guys wasn't on his side. But I wonder how they coerced him to come into the mouth of this den here. I wonder how they tricked him into that. I wonder how they got, maybe they smiled and say, "We're gonna go see the king, would you go with us?" And you know what? There's a crowd that'll look at you and they'll say, "Listen, how about you doing this? We're gonna do this and we're gonna do that. You go with us and we'll be buddies." And then they'll turn on you like a pack of wolves. Listen, these lookers, they still look. I don't know where you're at tonight, but there's some lookers that's watching you. Even more the reason for you to stay faithful. Even more the reason for you to stay in the fight. Even more the reason for you not to give up. You keep on going for God. Keep on going for God, even if you can't. Listen, if it feels like when you get in your prayer closet and it don't go no higher than that organ right there, if it seems like when you go to church it's useless, I don't feel nothing anymore, keep on keeping on, press on, don't give up, go on for the glory of God, because people are watching. And whenever God delivers you and brings you out of the lion's den, God's going to get the glory out of this situation. Our location, our lines, our lookers. But then we're going to look at our Lord. I'm glad the Lord's involved. Ain't you glad He don't throw you in? But I noticed something here. As I think about Daniel being thrown in this den. When Daniel was thrown in, I have to believe that those lions were so hungry. If he'd have stayed in there 5 seconds... before the Lord had been there, they would have mauled into Him. But I want to tell you this, I believe the Lord was down in that dungeon before Daniel ever got there. And I believe he had some of that gorilla tape, amen? Some of that Holy Ghost gorilla tape. And he wrapped him lion's mouth and said, "Ain't no meal tonight, boys. We're going to rest easy." And he put him to sleep over in the corner, and there come Daniel. So I believe the Lord. You know where the Lord's at tonight? You know what? Before you ever got the phone call with the bad news, before you ever got the letter, before you ever got the email, before the doctor ever gave you the bad news, you know where the Lord was? He was already there. He was already present. I bless His name. Ain't you glad that the Lord was already there before you ever arrived? Hallelujah to God. Whew. Boy, He's such a good God. Our Lord in His presence. He's been with us. He's been before us. And He'll be there long after. And let me tell you how it works. When you go into that storm, the Lord's already in the storm. When you come out of the storm, the Lord's already, He's still in the storm, but yet He's on the other side of the storm leading you. Amen. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Ain't you glad He leads you beside the still waters? I'm glad He leads me, amen, through the valley of the shadow of death, because thou art with. I'm glad that the Lord is with us where we find ourselves in these dark places. His presence. And then His power. Verse 22. My God. My God. You ought to say that. And you ought to think about it. He's my God. David said the Lord is my shepherd. It's a personal thing. You see, he's the God of Liberty Baptist Church. The church, He's the God of the church universal. He's the God of His bride. But He's also the God of me individually. He's my God. And His power, I notice here, He has power here in verse number 22. He has power over these lions. You see, the lions that's in your life, the things that you're facing, do we honest to goodness think that God hadn't got power over this? Do we think that what we're facing, I think about Brother Vince, and I've tried my best to pray for Brother Vince and his eye specifically that he get that sight back. I prayed for Brother Ken and his situation. You know, and I see these things here, how that God has the power over Brother Vince's eye. You know, he could think it. You know, he could do whatever he pleases. He could instantaneously he could cause that eye to see better than the other eye. He can help Brother Ken. He can do whatever he pleases. He's the God of the lines. There's no situation, I'm telling you, there's no situation that God don't have the power over. He's the God of the lines. He's the God of the stone. That has got you locked in. Listen to me. That stone, that only entrance, that only exit, He is the one that put it there, and He's the one that's going to move it. Them lions don't know how to roll that stone away. The devil don't know how to get you out of there. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you, the only one that can get you out is the one that put it there. Them soldiers didn't roll it away from His tomb. He rolled it away. Amen. He has power over the stone. He's got power over the king. And He's got power over those looking on. Ain't that something? He's got power over all these. Now listen to me. Watch your Bible. Verse 22. My God has sent His angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. You see that? They have not hurt me. For as much as before Him innocency was found in me, and also before the O king have I done no hurt. Next verse, the king's exceedingly glad. And the other folks, those lookers, has showed up, ain't they? So we see His prevailing lastly. When this thing's all said and done, Daniel had to stay in here overnight. Daniel had to stay in here, the Bible specific, a night. But you know what? Sometimes you're going to stay in some things a little longer. But God had grace. Listen to me. God had grace for Daniel for this one night that was sufficient. And no matter if it would have been two nights or three nights, if it had been five nights or a week or a month, God would have specific grace every single day. He would have kept the lions alive and not even being fed and watered. But yet He could have protected you and taken care of you while you were in the lion's den. God's got power over these. He is a prevailing God. And when this thing's over in your life, when this thing is done, when your situation's finished, when your storm is over, when everything is cleared up, everything's going to be all right. You stay with God. Now, Daniel had a choice here. When he was going in this storm, when he was going in this before he ever done that, he had the opportunity. He could have not prayed. You know what Daniel could have done? He could have said, I'll put it off for 30 days. Had that choice. He could have said, well, I don't think I'm going to go up in the upper room there. I'm not going to open my windows towards Jerusalem. I'll just pray here in silence. He could have done that. But no, he chose to go up there three times a day, morning, evening, and night. And you know what? He prayed three times. And he found himself here. He's prevailing here. When God gets done, and when God sees the right time, He's going to bring you out. And He's going to get the glory. And He's going to take care of you. And you know what? Ain't no doubt it's going to be scary. Ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt. Daniel, no doubt probably, he may have even shed some tears in there. I wonder how long it took him to realize. I wonder how long it took him to realize, you know, they ain't coming after me. You know, they can't bite me. I wonder how long, you know, and how long will it take you to realize God's going to take care of me. Maybe tonight, wherever you're at, whatever you're facing, God wants you to know, and maybe He's trying to convey that message to you that He's going to take care of you. He loves you. You're His child. Father, thank You for your blessings. Thank you for your word. I appreciate your word. I pray you'd bless it. I pray you'd help it. Help that person, those people, Lord God, that stands in need of it. We love you and we appreciate you. In Jesus' name, amen.